Hello, welcome to Spotlight, a glittering bauble of artistic festivity.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, it's all about the Pantos. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it really is. There's a very big one at the Gaiety Theatre before and during Christmas, and a somewhat smaller one, though every bit as good, in the north of the island, starting after Christmas. Deadline to get your guild entries in is fast approaching, end of Jan in case you're wondering, but there have been some tweaks to the syllabus. We'll have all the details, and we'll hear about what UCM music students have been up to in a concert this very evening. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in planning, hoping to create, or would really like to, yes, you know it, put in the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, panto. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, forget. Mime, social media, digital. Howard Kane with an E at manxradio.com. Spotlight at manxradio.com. Let's hear from you. Probably leave it until the new year now because this is the last programme of 2025. It is that time of the year on stage when all ideas of subtlety, good taste goes out the window. Everything loud, proud, brash, silly, unpredictable, family-centred and above all ridiculous, with lots of double entendre, hits the boards. Yes, it's panto season. Oh, yeah. Oh, stop it. There's already been one in Peel at the Centenary Centre, possibly elsewhere. But now, what I'm pretty certain is the biggest panto on the island takes to the stage at the Gaiety Theatre, Cinderella, presented by Stage Ed and starting this very Friday, the 19th of December. Director Steve Pomfreman and Dame Carberetta joined Christy De Haven this very afternoon in the 123 studio, same as the Spotlight studio, just spelled differently, for some, well, barely organised chaos.
Carberetta looks magnificent. You look like a bubblegum explosion.
I do, don't I?
Yes.
And I'm wearing my lovely black and white. It's Gaiety Theatre, you see, it's their colours, you see. I look like a big Newcastle United fan.
Yes.
And it's a wipe clean little dress because what happens is in the show, lots of gunk and lots of foam gets put all over me. Kids love that.
Oh my, don't they? And the adults do as well, to be
fair.
Yes,
they do.
And that's the thing about panto, is because it's not just for the children.
No, it really isn't. No, there's lots of jokes that all of the grown-ups will get.
Mostly innuendo?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Entirely innuendo?
I don't know. And yes, and there's lots that the kids will love. But yes, both things. It's
marvelous. Are you excited?
Darling, I've been counting down for this for 11 months since I finished the last one.
I
love it. Here.
Can I just point out something you showed me when you came in as well? Because
yes,
you've been using a script, haven't you?
I have been learning.
Who's
my script?
On the back of the script?
You're on the back of the
Yay!
Script. Because we came to the press launch and I put that on the back of my script. I've been in, because I'm from Brighton, but I love coming here and I love this island, and I've been adopted. Well, I've definitely been adopted by the staff at the Terminus, by the way. The Terminus pub, you know, next
Hello,
to the
Terminus,
railway.
Yes.
Hello, darlings.
Other pubs are available.
Honestly, they've made me feel ever so welcome. But the thing is, your script has been out in Nero's in Hove every day with your face out there with me learning it.
Are you trying to make me famous?
Yes, I'm trying to make you. I want you to get bigger and bigger and bigger so you get your own BBC show.
I love that. Well, I won't say no to that one.
No, I know.
I know. Yeah. The things you don't know behind the scenes here. Every time I go on air today, I'm having to tuck my earrings into my headphones because I'm wearing my special Christmas baubles, especially for you, Carberetta.
They're very festive, they
Thank
are.
Thank you.
They're very festive.
I mean, they don't quite compete with your
blancmange
explosion.
Let's not forget that I've got six costumes in my show, as has my lovely sister. So
what's your favourite costume?
My favourite costume is, for the ball, I'm wearing a fruity number. Let's just put it that way.
I have talking like Miranda, Carmen
Miranda?
Yeah, I do.
Carmen Miranda. I have giant banana earrings. It's a sight to be seen, it really is. Oh. And the finale dress, I won't tell you because that's a nice surprise, but hello.
Oh, very nice. You start on Saturday, so it's somebody pressing your dresses for you now.
We start Friday.
Oh, Friday. Oh, I missed it.
Friday, 7 o'clock, 600-555, Villagaiti.com.
Well done. In fact, you've had a message in saying, Hi, Christy. Hi. Can you say a big thank you to the whole Stage Ed team for making my daughter Fiana's Christmas so magical this year? The Cinderella Panto is her first Gaiety show. She is in awe of everyone involved and counting down to opening night.
Well, that's
brilliant.
Marvellous. Let me write that down. We'll write that down.
Yeah, brownie points for Fiana.
Fiana, there we are.
Well, that's the thing, Steve.
She's in the show. That's Fiana.
Yeah.
I know Fiana.
Yeah,
sorry.
Because you include a lot of locals as well, don't you, Steve? You always do.
Yeah, we do. Always. I mean, to be fair, There's only John and Steve and Tom we've brought over, isn't
yes,
there?
Yes, no, I know.
Everyone else is
but now you've adopted me, so I'm
they have to
well.
Be. Yeah. Keep these in check.
Do.
But no, the kids are brilliant. Incredible. We have two teams of eight children who all do alternate shows.
Yeah.
And they have worked really hard. And they've been worked really hard as well.
I know.
But they are fantastic.
16 kids. Imagine trying to remember 16 names.
Well, you're not doing very well, are you?
No, I know it did. No, Fianna, I remember because I know it sounds like Rihanna. So that's how I remember Fianna.
You will
There's
now.
Some easy names that are easy now. To remember.
Winnie speaks a bit of Manx carburetor, and I believe you do as well.
I do. Faster my.
Well done,
now,
gentlemen.
Just to say that my friend Nikki at the Terminus, that's the last time I'll say Terminus, honestly. It's just that every time I say Terminus,
stop
they get me a black
the
glass of wine. No, she said... I said, how do I say it? And she wrote it down for us. And then she wrote how to say good morning, but I didn't bring that with me. And then she wrote something about getting on the boat. It means that it's time to do it tomorrow or something. I can't remember.
Oh,
it's
well,
a phrase.
Do you know how to say Merry Christmas?
No, teach me.
Okay. Steve, do you know how to say it?
It's terrible. I don't.
Oh, well, do you know what I'm going to do? Because I've got here, because our charity of the week all this week is the Manx Language Children's Charity, which is Munjavega, which means little people in Manx. We have some children from the Bunskull Gilgak, which is the Manx speaking school, and they've recorded some Manx phrases for us. So I'm just going to try and find one for you now.
Brilliant.
Hold on a second, because one of the things they've recorded for us is how to say Father Christmas. All right, so this... is how you say Father Christmas.
Jishiganolig, Father Christmas.
Jishiganolig. Can you say Jishiganolig?
Jishiganolig.
That'll do.
Great fun. It's all about the panto at Christmas, isn't it? But like puppies, a panto is not just for Christmas. If you head north after Christmas, you'll find a slightly smaller and splendidly community-based version of Treasure Island being staged by the Cloydren Northern Community Theatre Group, starring none other than Ramsay MHK and Treasury Minister Dr. Alex Allinson as the Dame. Founder and director of the group, Heather Rufino, dropped in to tell me more. Oh, no, she didn't. Oh, yes, she... Yeah, here she is.
Well, we're putting our own twist on the Treasure Island.
Oh, a classic. A classic.
Yes.
So tell us more.
Right, well, as the pirates, the group of pirates, with the Star Shanty Singers group, they are all the baddie pirates. And we have a very mixed up plot, I'm afraid, a bit of fun.
Well, all panto plots are mixed up one way or
another. Oh, yeah. You've got to have confusion. You've got to have confusion.
Totally. So the baddies are all Star Shanty Singers.
The baddies are the Star Shanty Singers. And we have the girls, the ladies, they are the Tartan Tyrants. And they overcome the pirates in the end. So we have quite a plot. And our dame... back in his frock is Alex Allinson. He's back in his frock as the day.
The mind boggles.
Plot him off, I know. He wanted to be a baddie and a wicked pirate, wicked, but he didn't get the chance this year. So.
Well, there's a reason to go straight off, if nothing else, isn't it?
Just exactly.
To,
yeah.
But, so is this something you've written yourself? or
It is. I just love writing scripts and things like that. I just love it. But... I base it on the say of the traditional story, but it always has its twists and turns, and I love inventing characters, you know, all different characters for it. So, yeah, beware, January, beware, everybody.
So it's running, so it's doing some traditional sort of panto dates, because everyone sometimes thinks, oh, panto in the run-up to Christmas. Quite often you'd
exactly.
get panto post-Christmas running towards Easter sometimes. So this is going to be in January rather than late December.
Exactly. Mm. I mean, we did used to do it in February because of availability with everybody, with the cast and everything. But January seems to work well. And, you know, it's nice after Christmas things die down. And we just feel it fits in better to do it in January because there's so much going on. And the run-up to Christmas, as you say.
Always.
So, you know, it just it works out much better.
Sort of thing that's suitable for everyone?
Oh, yeah. Typical traditional family, yeah. Yeah, from from 6 to 600, you know.
The whole works.
The whole works, yeah.
And it is the sort of, as you say, a traditional, so it has got the usual things, has it, of the sort of the baddies and oh, yes, you are, and sort of the booing and hissing and that sort of thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, a bit of slapstick and nonsense as well. Yeah, believe me.
And tell us a little bit more about Cloydren, because it's... How long's that been going now, then?
We've been formed... Now, let me just think. Must be about 15 years now.
Gosh, as long as that. Wow.
As Croydon Northern yep. Theatre, yeah. So we've put quite a few things on. And we've always concentrated on trying to do a pantomime for the North and mm-hmm. for Ramsey mm-hmm. Every year as best we can, but also comedy plays and musicals. And of course, we've got the Star of India, which is one
yeah.
of our own unique
Brilliant.
Musicals. And we've got a comedy play coming up in May, which is also written by three of us.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so that's a comedy farce, so that should be funny.
And these are all staged in the North, of course.
All staged in St Paul's Hall, because it's a great base, because it's the biggest hall in Ramsey, I would say, for that, because we have our own staging, which we bolt together, all these big pieces that all bolt together. And it forms quite a decent stage, and we have our own tabs, our own equipment, our own lighting and sound. And when it's all put together, it looks quite good. It's like a little mini theatre, really. It just transforms it.
Brilliant. And what sort of numbers can you get into the hall when you're performing?
Sorry?
What sort of numbers can you get in?
We can get up to, I mean, it can go up to for between 90 and 120
wow.
by
what
licence,
size,
but
yeah.
I don't like to go over about 80 mm-hmm. at a full house, because we like to keep the aisle free, obviously, and the size of it. And I also feel it's safer to just have a set yeah. number. So, you know, I don't like it to get too crowded. So, yeah.
Quite. So, the important thing then, we know it is in, we know it's Treasure Island, we know it's in January, we know it's pantomime, we know it's Croydon, and it's in St Paul's Hall. But what about the dates and the times and how indeed people can actually get along, how they get their tickets?
Yeah, Friday the 16th, Saturday the 17th. We do a performance in the evenings at 7:30. And on the Saturday, we also do a matinee at 2:30 and then 7:30. And the following weekend, that's Friday the 23rd at 7:30 and Saturday the 24th, matinee and evening, 2:30 and 7:30. Now, we don't actually do tickets in hand. What we do is you can either text or telephone my mobile number, 437904, and you can book your seats that way. And then the only thing is, you come the earlier you come is the more choice you've got of where to sit, because the actual seats aren't numbered or allocated, but you will guarantee you have got seats booked. And or you can pay at the door if you wish. So adults are £8.50 and the senior sits and children 11 years and under are £6.50, and that includes some refreshments in the interval. And there's also a raffle if you want to have a fun with a raffle. So yeah.
Brilliant. Community theatre at its best, and pretty much the only theatre group operating in the north of the island. Unless you know otherwise, if you do, well, let me know. Let's get you on the show. Howard Kane with an E at maxradio.com. Do try and support them if you can, if only to see Dr. Allinson in a frock. That's got to be worth the entry money alone.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Whilst I remember, and we're up north, the Northern Chamber of Commerce having a snow art trail in Ramsey. It runs right the way through until Christmas Eve, if you haven't seen it already. The Man and Art group were invited to do the paintings for it, so plenty of wonderful pieces of artwork to be found in shop windows in Ramsey on the run-up to Christmas. Check them out, as I will be doing this very Saturday morning. Now, we were hearing recently on Spotlight about next year's Guild, the iconic feature on the arts calendar for generations. But Festival Secretary Sandra Loach gave me a shout the other day to say they had had to make some small but important changes to the syllabus for 2026. I rushed out and nabbed her at work to get the details in time for Spotlight before Christmas.
We had feedback from a few people who would normally enter the specials classes, and they're the classes that filter through to the Cleveland Medal Test, so our pièce de résistance for the festival, that people were struggling to find a piece under one of the categories, which was from a Southern composer or Southern Hemisphere composer, trying to find a suitable piece that suited their voice, that they felt able to sing, and that was also of a suitable quality for that class for the Cleveland Medal to be able to sing on that Friday night if they actually got through. So at the AGM, this kind of came about. We had a bit of a discussion with the company members that were there and the exec committee. And for once, we have made the decision to add an additional option in for a song with the theme of the natural world. So if somebody's already chosen something that's Southern Hemisphere and they're happy with that, absolutely crack on and enter that piece. If people are struggling or they'd like to change, then something on the theme of the natural world. And then the second choice is a song from any other composer that contrasts to your first choice, that obviously is suitable quality for the special. So it's a slight change, but it isn't something we're taking lightly. We have had some feedback on that, which we were absolutely responding to. But we felt that in order to make sure that we weren't reducing the number of people who were going to enter the specials, and we had to make a change this time. But believe me, we will be putting steps in place to make sure we're not in this position again in the future.
So if people, as you say, if they've already started work on their piece from the Southern Hemisphere and thinking, oh, hell, I've got to start again, they don't.
They absolutely don't have to. And again, I've had two or three people come back to me and say, well, I've already chosen a piece and I'm happy with it. Absolutely crack on. If that's the piece you want to sing, you will not be penalised in any way, shape or form. It's just that we're now adding an additional choice in just for anybody that's really, really struggling.
And it is, you mentioned it there, I'm just racking my brains. I can't think of this happening very often, if at all.
It's not something that we've ever really done before. And again, like I say, it's not something we want to do again in the future. We have had feedback from people saying that's part of the challenge of the Guild, is to try and find something that matches the options that you've been given for an own choice category or an own choice class, and find something that's technically difficult as well. And we absolutely take that on board as feedback too. I suppose if any company members are listening, I suppose the feedback is, if the AGM's up and running and you get the date for it, please try and make sure you come along, because your voice does have some weight. You know, we do listen to you.
And are these decisions, i.e. what they're going to be singing the pieces, is this sort of made by committee or is it an individual choice?
Yeah, so we have a music committee that meets after each festival. So they're headed up by a member of the exec committee, and then there's usually about three of the company members. They choose the set pieces for all the music classes. So it's the singing classes, the piano classes, and the choir classes. And then we put them into the syllabus. So sometimes it might be a set piece you have to sing, Monsters by Lynn Marsh, for example, which is one of the junior vocal solos next year. Or with the specials, it's two choices, two pieces. So last year we had It Had to Be a Living Composer by the 31st of December 2024. This year it's Southern Hemisphere plus one other piece. Those are chosen in the summer and then they go into the syllabus. So obviously we're putting some more checks in place now to make sure that there are going to be plenty of options for anything where it's we give you an option and then you choose a piece that fits that category. So
it's always the case, and as we were saying when we were speaking at length earlier on, it's one of these things that, you know, it's a sort of an organic quantity, I suppose, isn't it, the Guild? I know there have been changes we were talking about, sort of trying to modernise it, moving forward when it comes to entries and classes, and I suppose this falls into exactly that category. It's something, okay, if something needs tweaking, we'll tweak it now, and then we'll look at changes going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, if you look at the Cleveland Medal in the past, it was very strict. We'd give you set composers. It would be a piece by Mozart or by whoever. Whoever that composer's happened to be, we decided to make it a little bit easier for people to find pieces, but they still need to be of a technical quality that's suitable for the specials classes and for the Cleveland Medal. And that's where the Southern Hemisphere composer has kind of tripped us up a little bit, where some people are struggling.
Can people find details on this if they sort of maybe have caught a bit of this, or they've heard something saying, oh, what exactly are the changes? Can they read the details anywhere?
So at the moment, it's just on our Facebook page. So we have an open Facebook page, and then some people are in our private group as well called Guild Skeet. So the details are on there. And they can also contact us via my email address, which is manxguild@gmail.com. And I'll tell you the details. Our website's in the process of being updated at the moment, so I haven't put anything on the website yet. We are hoping to try and get something in the papers as well. Jill was working on that for us.
Lovely. So if you've heard this, great. If you haven't, might see it in the papers. If not, and you've heard it on the skeet, as they say, oh, there's been some changes, go to the Facebook page. You can see something there. That's it. Everything else as is?
Everything else as is. It's just that one important change that we wanted people to know about.
Absolutely. And it is the blue ribbon class, as they say, isn't it? It's one of those biggies, so it's great to get it out there.
Yeah.
Well, look, best of luck. One last time, folks, get your entries in by
31st of January 2026, and we've had two in already.
Even better.
Yeah.
Before we go, a reminder of one wonderful night at Peel Cathedral. It's this very evening, given by the splendid music students at UCM, both past and present. A couple of them dropped into Max Radio recently to tell Christy De Haven about what they've been doing on the course.
I'm speaking now with some of the students from University College Isle of Man about an initiative that is involving the students with both young people from primary schools and the elderly at a care home here on the Isle of Man. Millie, I'm going to come to you first. Just tell us a little bit about this project then. What have you been doing and who have you been doing it with?
So we've been given the unit of like going to see people like primary school students and people from care homes. And I went to Ellen Vannon and I spoke to an old man, and basically I just asked him about his life and what he used to do and what he likes doing. And then, because it's a unit about community music, I was like thinking I might write a song about his life. And I recently moved up to Bride and I found out that he lived in Bride, so I made a song about his life in Bride and my moving up to Bride and about like a new business that my dad did and everything. So,
and I think from what I understand as well, it's been quite useful for you, hasn't it? Because I think, I know it's only the Isle of Man and in theory the island's very small, but actually a move to Bride is quite a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think your conversation with him came at quite a crucial time for you, didn't it?
Yeah, it helped a lot with my song because I got like what Bride used to be, and like I've been given like a photo of what it used to look like, and it was like really nice.
What are some of the things that have really stood out in your mind that you'll remember from this?
Probably what the Bride tea rooms used to look like, because my dad recently took over. So that was nice to see about what it used to look like, and just like what the atmosphere used to be like to what it is now.
Which is lovely, isn't it? Because really, with your dad taking over the tea rooms, this means you're going to be at the heart of that community.
Yeah.
So how are you finding it up there now?
It's really nice. It's nice and quiet. And it's just like really nice to see loads of people come in and just talk to us about like everything.
It must be lovely as well for you and your dad to talk about it. I mean, I take it he's heard the song, has he?
Yeah, I shown it to him last week and my grandparents when they were over.
And what do they think of it?
They can't stop singing it.
Oh, well, there you go. Then it's a hit. As long as he can't stop singing it, it's a hit. So well done, you. Well, we'll hopefully be able to hear a little bit of it. But Harley, we're going to come to you now. Already a performer on the Isle of Man in drag, which is a really healthy scene over here, which is fantastic. But tell us a bit about your music then.
So, not to reiterate what Millie said, but we are doing community music and we're given the choice to either work with people in the care home or with primary school students, and I chose primary school students. We didn't get to have like one-on-ones with the children, as obviously they're in their school, they're learning, so we just had to observe and then send like surveys and whatnot to find out the information we needed. And then post receiving what we got back, I could start making a song. And then it was with a chat with lovely teacher Ruby in that we decided that I should work with the choir as opposed to a class, because I had an idea of making a canon / round for the choir to do.
So you've written a Christmas song, I believe.
I have, yes.
Tell me a little bit about it.
It's a very short song. With it being taught to the choir and as opposed to like an actual class, I didn't have a really like large time span to teach it. So I kept it quite upbeat, catchy and like jolly sounding, with just like very festive lyrics talking about like stars and like Christmas trees and all of that kind of stuff.
I suppose that's the thing, is Christmas, with regards to a subject for children, it's the perfect kind of content really, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot to milk.
So what is going to happen with this song?
Hopefully, I don't believe there's been a confirmation yet, but hopefully the choir from the primary school is going to come down to our concert in Peel Cathedral and perform my song.
My name is Ruby Biscoe Taylor and I teach music on the music course, the level 3 music course at the University College Isle of Man.
Ruby, it's lovely to speak to you again about this and the class that you do with the students. You are really keen on getting them out and about in the community, aren't you? Why is that important?
Well, the thing is, these are our second year students, and the first year we kind of focus on fundamentals of music and them kind of learning about themselves, and I just think it's really important for them to go into the community and see how music affects other people, because that's why we all love music, because it affects us all so much, and it's more about making music for other people than making music for themselves. So it's kind of putting them in maybe slightly tricky situations sometimes, like out of their comfort zone, talking to people they wouldn't normally come across, and even playing, writing, learning music that they wouldn't normally do. And it's just to challenge them, and also benefits the community. So we've been to Ellen Bannon Care Home, and we've been twice to go and chat to some residents. And, you know, they just love having someone to talk to, especially they love seeing young people. You know, Harley walks in with a face full of makeup, looking absolutely gorgeous, and they're all so curious. They're like, oh, why are you wearing makeup? What are you doing? And they get to talk about their drag and what they do. And I think it's really nice for the older generation to kind of see what the kids are doing now.
And this concert, obviously, later this month, essentially, it's going to be a really big deal, isn't it? Because, I mean, to get the chance to play in the cathedral, that's incredible, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're really excited about it. It'll be our last one for the course. And so we're not only having our own students playing, but we've invited back past students. So anyone who's taken the course in the last 5 years that Chris has been running it, they've been invited back to play. So it's going to be a really wonderful night with not just our current students and the work that they've been doing, but all the past students. And we can see, you know, where they've gone, how they've progressed. A lot of them are at uni. One of them's even doing a master's course. And so we're really proud of the students that have come through this course.
This is my song and it's called Ding Dong.
Moving to the middle of nowhere, with no friends by my side. Dad's told me we're gonna move to Bright.
No, Bright.
These roads feel unfamiliar.
It should be a lovely evening at the cathedral, 7 o'clock this evening, an acoustic set performed by both past and present music students. Entry is free, what's not to like? Donations very welcome to the Student Emergency Fund. They'll be gratefully received. That's about it for now, you know. This is the last Spotlight before Christmas, so it just remains for me to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy New Year. Thanks ever so much for listening through 2025. Why not get in touch with one of your artistic projects in 2026? Be lovely to talk to you. Be good, whatever you're doing. Be creative about it. Happy Christmas and emu!